We would like to acknowledge that this podcast is recorded on the traditional lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
We pay our respects to elders both past and present.
Scream Queens.
Welcome to Scream Queens,
the podcast where two comedians watch, review, and gossip about everything on your screens. My name is Alex Day. I'm a comedian, podcast producer, and writer.
My name is Beck Charwood, and I'm a sexy baby and a comedian sometimes.
But mostly the baby thing.
Mostly the sexy baby thing. I know Taylor Swift said it was bad. I think it's cool.
Bring it back. And joining us today as our first official guest to the Green Queens podcast is friend of the pod.
Our original producer, EP, I would say.
From 5 years ago.
An exec.
Producer. We've got comedian, podcaster, cinephile himself, Alexi Toliopoulos.
Oh, I would love to begin by saying hello to the Screen Queens. I would love to continue that hello to all the subjects of the Screen Queendom right now that are listening in and watching on YouTube or your chosen video platform.
Screen Queendom. I love that.
All the subjects out there, as you are the royalty of this place.
Do we call them our subjects? Is that too...
I think that's a very weird name for fans, but you know what? Let's get weird.
No, you're right. Now that I've said it out loud. You know when you say something immediately loud and you're like, shut it down?
Yes. To the proletariat of the Screen Queendom.
Thank you so much for joining us, Alexi.
The pleasure is mine.
Good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
We've invited you back to do the same movie that we did on Dude Cinema. But before we get into it, you are a cinephile.
It's true.
Yeah, king of the films and of the screens, I would say.
Wow. You're the screen king. No, not the screen. The small screen has almost no interest to me. I can't claim any kind of, royalty over the small screen.
And the medium screen too. You're much more the big screen
I'm
guy.
I'm a big screen guy. Yeah. That's it. Big screen guy with big screen dreams.
Well, I'd love to get your, what's going on the big screens at the moment? What have you been loving? What have you been watching?
Wow. You know what I saw this week and I was surprised by how much I loved it, was the new prequel to The Omen that came out this week, just came out.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think The Omen is a fun horror franchise, but I've never thought there's been like a great entry in it. Uh-huh. But there's a new prequel out called The First Omen, and I went in...
Smart, very smart. Very Fast and Furious can take some notes from that.
Exactly. We go all the way back. We keep the title... pretty concise.
Yeah, very nice and concise.
And I thought it was great. And it, weirdly, it's got very similar, I guess how you would say is like identity to Immaculate, the Sydney Sweeney non-sploitation movie that is out right now.
Yes.
On paper, they're very similar, but I thought First Omen was so artfully made and it has like a nice balance of like this pulpy religious horror thriller kind of feeling. But then there's like a nice kind of like artistic quality to it that I did not expect, like in its craft. That was really nice. And a really great lead performance by this actor who I don't think I had ever seen before. Maybe you guys would know them. It is an actor called Nell Tiger Free.
Never heard, but what a great name.
I'd never heard them before, fantastic and I thought name. They were fantastic. And it's a female filmmaker, Akasha Stevenson, who I think like really brought a lot of cool horror vibe to it all, like and really fun pulpy symbolism. And they directed some of this show called Brand New Cherry Flavor. Did you guys see that?
No.
I'm going to watch it as well now because I really like this. Yeah.
Dude, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I was so surprised. Like, I really did not have it like on my radar. I had a good trailer. I was like, oh, you know, I don't really pay attention to trailer because to me, that is small screen. Trailers are for the small screen, not my vibe. But it was so fun. It was really fun and really nicely made.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
We've got a nice rainy weekend this weekend.
Oh, great rainy day movie. I think Nun Pictures are great for rainy days. Sound of Music.
Flying Nun, Sister Act.
Seriously, every movie just said, I'm like, these are all great rainy day movies.
They would all slap on rainy day.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree 1,000%. Black Narcissus, put them all on.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. Are you a horror guy?
Love horror, absolutely. Mm. It might be my favorite genre, like or the genre I get excited about most. Yeah. I think the reason I love it is when I think about horror and getting into it, I got into it when I was in film school, and it was kind of, for me, a really good educational tool because horror and especially comedy, it's all about using technique and craft to get a specific response from the audience, which is to be freaked the fuck out. And so when I was watching horror, I would actually be understanding technique because it was like that. And then since then, I'm just like, oh, okay, I love it. I love spooky shit. I love to get freaked. I love to get spooked out.
What's your favorite horror movie, do you reckon?
Oh, shit. Mm. I think I would rather kill myself than have to answer.
We're coming in with the big ones. We're not messing around on screen queens, okay?
We don't want him to do
that. No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to answer it. I will answer it because the other option is too scary.
You just said you love being freaked, so we're freaking you, baby.
I'm fully freaked right now. I've got a chill running down my spine all the way to my toe. My one toe. I've got one toe. That's it. I got the rest of them removed so I can fit into more shoe sizes. It was a cosmetic decision. I would say my favorite
is
The Exorcist. I love The Exorcist. I love The Exorcist.
That's one of, I think, the five horror movies I've seen.
Wow. And how much does it freak you?
It didn't freak me too much.
A bit too old.
Especially because I'd seen the clip of like the head spinning around and the vomit. Then I was like, that's the scariest part. And I knew that was coming.
Are you an emetophobe?
An emetophobe?
That's someone who's afraid of vomit.
Huh?
No, I love it.
Wow, emetophile then.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Wow, we're going to emetophiliac on the podcast.
Record you having a yak, send it in. Please don't do that. Yeah. Please don't actually
do
that.
We want yaks for faps. That's all we need, dude.
Yaks for faps. Before we move on to the movie, though, Alexi, you do have a new podcast.
Yeah. It's a new podcast. And I've got the main thing about it is I've got one of the great producers of the entire game.
Stop.
Miss AJ, Alex J. Ah. The Miz herself is producing the podcast. But it's sick, man. It's been so fun. Alex and I have been collaborating on a lot of stuff recently. And I think might steal her full time from you.
Okay.
Not true.
Honestly, I saw you amping up. You looked down and looked a little nervous before you said the sentence. And I want you to know, it's on site. When we walk out of the studio, I'm going to be polite. We're going to finish the episode.
She's a professional.
You will be catching these hands as soon as we step out.
Okay.
Don't come for my lady.
Okay. I rescind it. I think you can have
it. I do declare. Well, this is wonderful.
Yeah, but it's been really fun. We've been making lots of cool stuff together. This podcast is all about like evoking the nostalgia of going to the video store and finding films and exploration and discovery. So each week I'm joined by a wonderful guest and we'll go through some of their favorite movies in the style of a video store rental combo of one new release and two weeklies. And then I'll give them a bespoke, customized recommendation based on their taste.
Sick.
It's such a great show. Literally, Alexi is becoming like the Yoda of movie picking. You give him three movies, and every single time, the movie that he comes up with as the staff recommendation blows these guests' minds.
Can I do a real quick one?
Oh my God, okay. Ooh, put me on the spot. I'm sweating.
Sorry, you came for my girl, babe. Yeah. All right.
I should have worn velour. It's not breathable enough for me under these conditions. Good Lord.
All right, so my favorite movies of all time.
Yep. You have to do a new release first.
Okay, new release.
Something from the last like 5 months.
Wow, 5 months.
What's your favorite movie from the last 5 months?
Well, let's go Barbie, Beetlejuice, and Charlie's Angels.
Wow, okay. So Barbie and Beetlejuice have really interesting production design, like very kind of
this is really interesting.
Fun.
I've never seen the process.
Yeah,
in
this
real
is me.
Time.
I'm going to say it all out loud because otherwise I'll just be silent for 2 minutes.
Take us into the Mind Palace.
I would say they have real nice production design and like a very strong aesthetic. Charlie's Angels kind of same thing as well.
Yeah.
And then
she loves colors.
Yeah, I love Charlie's Angels, by the way. It's like one of my favorite movies. It was the first DVD I ever owned.
Really?
Was Charlie's Angels. Yeah.
How do you feel about Full Throttle?
Love it as much. I bought the CD soundtrack.
Whoa, understandable. It's freaking great.
Love those movies so much. Okay, Beetlejuice a little bit spooky as well. Do you want spookiness in your...
I like a bit of spooky. I'm getting into more freaky stuff.
Spooky sexy.
Wow, spooky sexy, okay. Wow.
Spooky sexy, scary, horny.
Scary, horny.
All right. Okay. I've got something a little bit off skew is kind of where I'm going now. So... Yeah, camp was a good key word for me. And I think this is something real fun that might be in your kind of wheelhouse. Kind of taking like the little bit of like that Barbie Dreamland thing and taking it to the Dreamlanders, which is John Waters. So there's a John Waters movie I'd love to recommend you that has,
John Waters.
I think, has really fun production design because it is like simple, but it's very suburbia. Yeah. And it plays on like melodrama and stuff. So it's got a very strong genre feeling and aesthetic. It's called Polyester. Have you ever seen Polyester?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Polyester is so good because it's got Divine, I think, in Divine's best performance.
I love Divine.
Really love, I love, love, love Polyester. It's my favorite John Waters one because it's quite fun, very silly. And it's got this great gimmick to it where it's got... it's a scratch and sniff movie because it's filmed in Smellorama or Odorama.
Yes.
It's filmed in Odorama. So you can get scratch and sniff cards that have you scratch along because every now and then I think there's 10 and a number will come up on the screen because Divine can smell big odors and stuff.
So you're like, she'll take a hot pie out of the oven.
Well, I'll tell you, because it's John Waters, there's a lot of
gross
smells in there. Like shit and farts and stuff. And you scratch along when the number comes up.
I don't need to scratch along. If I'm sitting on the couch having some sneaky movie snacks, I'll be providing some smells along with
that's
the film.
What I want
to
hear. That's what I want to see. I want to hear and smell that kind of stuff. And I'll say this as well, in that kind of like female celebratory stuff of the other choices in your thing as well, I would say that there's this, the thing that I love most about this movie and why it's my favorite John Waters film. Do you know Edith Massey? She's one of his Dreamlanders, like one of the oddballs that's in all his movies.
Mm-hmm. Was she in Poor Things?
No. I think she's dead for a long time, but let me look her. I'll show you her.
Oh, yes.
Edith Massey.
She was in Crybaby as well, which is the only other John Waters movie I've seen and I loved.
And so she's interesting person, and she's kind of just like the one of the oddballs he brings in. But he gives her like this moment of like just really celebrating her and like her beautiful personality and honors her in a really nice way. And I just think that to me, it's like actually warms my heart. I get emotional when I think about the way that he like treats her in that movie. I think it's really nice.
That's lovely.
So it's probably his nicest movie as well, Polyester. Yeah, it's kind of camp, got a doll-like quality to it because it's kind of like playing house, like playing like, you know, dollhouse kind of vibes, mm-hmm. but very fun, silly.
Oh my god, that was amazing!
Yeah.
Should we watch it for the Patreon?
Oh yes, I'm definitely gonna watch it. It doesn't sound like a rainy weekend one, but I'm gonna go in.
Oh, rainy weekend for Rain Man. That's what I just did there. My Rain Man qualities came all the way out.
That was so. Oh my god!
Well done. That was so quick, dude.
I can't believe I did it.
You've never put on the spotlight.
Oh, I was a whole minute of me going, well, I don't know what to do. Can we just cancel the podcast?
I was like, we're gonna give people a taste. I have the genius.
There we go. And now you don't have to come on the podcast. You never have to be a guest.
Right, so you never have to have
we can release a 1 minute episode of just the cut up of that.
Done.
Yeah.
Easy. Well, yeah, listen to or watch Last Video Store. The aesthetics are absolutely stunning.
Oh, yeah. Alex has been learning some green screen.
I sure have.
Rotoscoping and mapping for it. So it's been a lot of fun. And that's why I'm wearing green today, because I can't wear this shirt ever on my own podcast.
True. Yeah. Is green your colour?
Not really.
But it
this
is
one
our
looks
colour.
Nice on you.
Thank you. I wasn't fishing, but let me just put this pole away.
You got one.
Well, enough about my favorite movies. Let's talk about, I'm guessing, your new favorite movie.
Oh, guess again, would you, darling? Guess again.
So, as we mentioned before, we had you on our previous podcast, Dude Cinema, to talk about the original Roadhouse film from 1984. And they've since done a remake of it with Jake Gyllenhaal, and it's been released last week called Roadhouse of the same name. Now, tell us a little bit about, I guess, your history with the original Roadhouse. It's a big one for you, isn't
it? I love it. I love the original Roadhouse. And it was one that I saw quite late, I think. I think I only discovered it a few years ago proper, like actually watch it. I just fell in love with it because I think it's just like such a weird action movie because it has an odd premise of Patrick Swayze is – a professional bouncer who is famous for bouncing.
Yeah.
And to me, that, and then he's like, there's something in that, and that he's got like this zen like quality, like he's a peaceful, pacifistic man. And if you push him the wrong way, he will enact violence without choice. I think there's something in that that feels very much how I would describe as the only naturally birthed in America martial arts movie, because those are more the feelings I would associate with like oddball Hong Kong or Asian martial arts films. This is the only martial arts American movie that I feel like taps into that from an American quality. So I really dig that. I like how sexy it is. Like, I think it is feels like a bisexual movie. Yeah. Like,
yes,
something
hugely
about that.
So
and every time I watch anytime I watch any Patrick Swayze movie, I'm always going like, Patrick Swayze, bye. Patrick Swayze. I try to find, like, is there anything out there about him? Because I'm like, there's something about this guy that I just love so much. So I really love Roadhouse. I think it's freaking cool and weird. And so I was like kind of in anticipation of this one, just go like, what is this? Like, how is it going to be? Yeah. What are they going to do? What's their take going to be? And it was really fun watching this movie because it felt like I was traveling back in time to like Total Reboot, where I would go original, remake.
Yes.
And I hadn't done that
your previous
for
podcast,
years.
Total
God,
Reboot.
We are really exercising all of your skills here today.
Exactly. Truly.
When you threw the credit
ringer. And you know what's weird? I was like, we did that for a long time. And then not until I was watching this movie, I go, oh, yeah, I've done this heaps.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about it in so long.
Just switched it
back on. So went back to like that reboot, remake type vibe. And so it's so weird because I was like, immediately my brain clicked back going like, you give remakes a chance. You got to give remakes a chance.
And
when this movie started, I started delighting in all like, oh, they're doing this the same. They're doing this different. I go, oh my God, you have this brain poisoning from these years ago that's coming back. So you're like, wow, you just see something a little bit different. You go, that's interesting. I go, then I had to go back, is it actually interesting? Is
or
anything
am I
they're doing this?
To talk about?
Yeah. Is anything in this actually interesting? And so, I don't know. I'm still processing it.
Oh my God. So how, when you heard that they were going to make a remake, how did you feel like going into it? Did you have any prior knowledge before watching it?
I knew the director was Doug Liman, who I like quite a bit of what he's done.
He's done like all the Bournes, right?
Yeah, he did the
Mr.
first
and Mrs. Smith.
Bourne movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and favorite of you two's, Swingers.
Whoa!
He directed Swingers, the Vince Vaughn movie.
Remember that?
Yes.
Throwback.
I think that he's done some interesting stuff. So I quite like what he can bring to a film. Oh, I did that Edge of Tomorrow of Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I really like that film.
That was a good one.
And I don't know, so I was kind of interested to see what he would do. And then Jake Gyllenhaal I love. And then the rest of the cast are getting populated. I was like, okay, don't know. And then I just stopped thinking about it and never paid attention to what was happening with that. So I had a little bit of an inkling going in, but not much.
Yeah.
Let's go around the table and say whether we liked this film or not, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Beck.
All right. I liked parts of it.
Okay.
I didn't hate it. But I can't say that I love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
It definitely didn't get me horny like the first Roadhouse definitely did.
That's true. But I mean, Patrick's not there.
Yes, but see, Jake Gyllenhaal, sexy guy. And I do have a thing for Lucas Gage.
Sure.
He got a punchable face. I want to sit on it.
He sure does. I want to squash it any which way.
Oh, my God.
Alexi, how did you feel about
this
film?
To allow the spirit of Patrick Swayze to embody me for a moment, I would say to what Beck just said, ditto. Because I almost agree entirely with everything she just said out loud. So yeah, verbatim. Verbatim ditto.
Okay, great.
Alexia?
I loved it.
What the hell?
Oh, I had so much fun.
How? You're under the grill now, dude. How?
I had so much fun in this movie. I did not expect it at all, but I caught myself lolling like crazy. Just so engrossed in it, couldn't walk away. It was just fun. I just had some, I have notes for sure. Yeah. But overall, I think this is a fun romp. It's a fun romp.
I would say like I started with that feeling. Yep. Like I was surprised at how much fun I was having. And I thought like to me it was a good take because I think Roadhouse is a lot of fun. And I was like, okay, they're channeling like the kind of weird campness of Roadhouse and then just going, let's make a comedy. And when it was in this comedic mode, I was like, this is so much fun. I'm having a great time. You're seeing like, there's a couple of things I would say fall really into that. There's one or two performances that I just loved. Billy Magnussen as a villain.
Another punchable hottie.
He's very funny, and I like that they play him younger. Like, his dad is like the kind of off-screen, more Ben Gazzara character. Mm. He's just kind of like a bit of a loser.
Yeah.
And then Arturo Castro from Broad City. As a henchman. I thought he was hysterical. And that was a fun take for a henchman that I thought was great, that he just likes the protagonist because he's likable.
And he just wants to be part of the crew. Yeah. He just wants to ride his bike around.
That's it. And I thought all of that early energy was so fun, especially this first beatdown scene where Jake Gyllenhaal beats the shit out of all these guys.
Yeah, but he checks beforehand. He's like, is there a hospital near here? Do you guys have insurance? That was so fun.
That was fun. And then
stuff like that. I thought the writing was really fun. And every time something like that happened, where Jake's character is being like smart or, you know, sarcastic and stuff, I was just like, I love it.
Yeah. And I loved that full gag of him. You then cut to him in a packed car driving all these guys to the emergency room. I thought that was really fun. Mm-hmm. And whenever the film was playing in that energy, I was like, this is really enjoyable. I can't believe how much I'm enjoying this. Mm-hmm. But then from the 40-minute mark or so, it stops doing that. And I was like, well, now I don't care anymore.
What was the turning point for you, do you think?
I actually don't. I feel like the film started taking itself too seriously, and it didn't earn that for me, because it was like the comedic aspect was what I was enjoying. Like, I don't really care about this interpretation of Dalton, whatever the guy's name is.
Yeah.
Because I never bought like the zenness of this character. I felt like it was, I don't know, just the character just I didn't find as interesting. And Gyllenhaal's charms wore out on me because of that, because it was only fun when he was overtly comedic.
When he was fun,
And then I was like, well, I don't get who this guy is. Mm. Like,
I didn't like that they made him a proper kind of like anti-hero of like he killed his best friend in the ring in a UFC fight. They don't mention if he goes to jail or not.
Yeah, like, I didn't like not having closure on that storyline.
Yeah. And I kind of think a big part of it is Dalton is like, whoa, he's like, and what makes this like a big part of the comedy is like, he's just so good. Mm. You can't fault him.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Yeah. He's perfect at being a bouncer. You don't understand.
Mm.
And this, I was kind of like, oh, he's kind of a bad dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, true.
So that kind of bothered it for me. And then the violence became real when it was like, when he would get he's like, when I get angry, I go fucking crazy. I'm like, no, Dalton's never crazy. He's always in control.
Yeah. But I don't know, because Swayze did that really well, because he was like, he's all zen, but then he'll rip a guy's throat out when he gets pushed too far. But I just felt like, I don't know, I never felt any of that kind of feeling with this Jake Gyllenhaal version of a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, except for one moment at the very start when he walks into the ring with Post Malone.
Mm.
I loved that scene. What a great way to open a film. I fucking loved it. Wow. I thought it was so, that set up the fun for me, because I'm like, it's Post Malone.
And everyone's favorite fella, Post Malone.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Star of The Greatest Love Story Never Told.
Yes, and This Is Me Now as well.
Jennifer Lopez's recent endeavors into independent filmmaking.
Also, on Cowboy Carter and
is he
the trauma the Tortured Poets Department. Ooh. Taylor Swift's new album coming out.
He's on all the big girls' new albums.
It's so strange, because I know who he is. Like, I've seen pictures of him.
Yeah.
I guess I've heard some of his songs, but I'm like, wow, this guy just totally ascended. It's how I know I've finally gotten old. There's just people that are famous now that I'm like, wow, I don't know who that is. Like, I walk around the city and I see someone on a billboard being like, they're coming to town, and go, no idea who that is. Just some
I
young
hope
guy.
They have a good time.
Yeah, awesome. Great they're going to be here.
While they're here.
If I wasn't working, paid at Triple J to stay in the loop for music, I wouldn't have a fucking clue.
Yeah. Not since I worked at Sanity do I know who's in the top 40. So, been a while.
But the very start scene where he like walks into the ring and just unlaces his boots calmly, and then the person's like, no, man, I can't do it. And then he's like, well, what are you going to do? I was like, oh, he's Dalton.
That's cool.
He's doing it.
That's
and then after that, it was kind of like,
okay.
Less so.
Okay.
Can I bring up maybe the most controversial thing about this film?
Mm. Conor McGregor's perfect ass. I'm so glad.
I think that's where I was going to go. Yeah, because his introduction as a character, he's like completely naked, walking around like some market in some unnamed place or whatever. And I think this is what I'm most hung up on in this film is this performance. Because it's not traditionally good acting.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But to me, there is actually some kind of charm in casting usually wrestlers in these kind of roles.
It gave me
stuff.
Huge wrestler turned actor vibes.
Yeah. And there's something, and to me, in Roadhouse, having this guy in this performance in it, it actually screamed the most Roadhouse to me.
Ah.
But I don't know if I liked it still. Like, I don't know. It was, I couldn't take my eyes off him on screen. Mm. And it was a lot of me trying to go, what is he doing? Has this guy ever seen acting before? Or like, did he get any training of any kind? Because it was just bizarre, but I couldn't stop thinking about it.
I mean, particularly the walk was hard to keep your eyes off.
Yeah.
Just like fully like, hips and toes turned out, shoulders like going in a figure of eight.
Every time.
Almost like a Popeye kind of.
He was a cartoon character.
It's weird he didn't have suspenders holding onto them the whole time. Yes. Like, it is weird.
It was quite jarring. I got the sense that every time he was on screen, the crew was scared to be filming him.
How can you direct that? How can you go, by the way, I've got a note.
Yeah, like, he's known for punching people who are just like, I don't know who you are. Yeah. He's like, fuck you.
Yeah. But what do you think about the performance? Did you like it?
I loved it.
Yeah, okay. Wow.
I've taken the Roadhouse sequel pill. Wow. I loved it. I'm road-pilled. Like, to me, I thought it was really cool that, so we haven't mentioned, but in this iteration, Jake Gyllenhaal's not a famous bouncer. He's a famous UFC fighter who has since been disgraced and retired.
UFC, what does that stand for? Ultimate Fighting Championship?
That's exactly it. Awesome. Oh my God.
I didn't know that.
Didn't know there was a UFC fan in the room.
Wow, yeah. I've seen one match. Thank God it was short.
I was bored.
They always are. Every time.
Yeah.
Alex is like, I'm going out to watch the fight. And then he's back within the hour.
See you in an hour.
The only five scene was that Ronda Rousey one where she got her ass handed to her for the first time. And you know, she was originally cast as the lead of this movie when they were doing a remake.
No,
it was originally
going to
be a Ronda Rousey joint.
Really?
Yeah, she was going to be the lead.
That would have been so sick.
How interesting. Yeah.
I wonder if I would have preferred that movie.
Yeah.
But you like this one? You like the UFC aspect of it?
I do. I thought it was cool that they got the villain to be, well, one of the villains to be played by a UFC fighter. And the show is about a UFC fighter. And I thought his campness and over-the-topness, it tickled me. I just enjoyed seeing him on screen. Every time he was on, I'm like, this scene's going to be fun. Mm. I was like weirdly proud of him. I've never met the man.
He remembered the line.
That's probably
despite all the CTE, he remembered the line.
That's probably what it was. My bar was so low. And I was proud of him. But look at him go. And then at the end, in the credits, he is credited as introducing Conor McGregor.
Whoa.
And I thought that was so cute. Wow. It's like his first breakthrough into film.
It is.
I've never seen the man before in my life. Like, I wouldn't have been able to pick him out of a lineup, but I'm now a Conor McGregor fan.
You're a Conor McGregor fan. Wow.
He was so fun.
Like that. Don't worry. He's like that all the time.
Okay. Okay.
If you enjoy that character, don't worry. It's not going anywhere.
Exactly. Follow his Instagram.
I might leave it at that, though. To be honest, more might be too much. I might just leave it encapsulated in Roadhouse for Conor.
Would you see other movies he's in?
No.
Wow, you're like,
I never want to.
I have him distilled here. Yes. I never need to see him ever again.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't want to see. He'll do the same thing. I think it was perfect for this movie. I don't want to. Yeah. He was just playing himself, like a hyped up version of himself.
Yeah, and like a true like maniac. He played a real maniac.
He really had like villain that you cannot kill.
Yeah.
Energy. Mm. Like, I was like, they could fully shoot him and he might not go down.
Yeah, he should play the Joker. That's what I think you're trying to say here. He should play the Joker.
Get Joaquin out of there.
Yeah, get him in.
Conor McGregor, Lady Gaga. All I do.
Oh, God. I would love to see him do a freaking musical. So that is cool.
Oh, the trailer comes out next week and I can't believe that I'm actually excited for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your Roadhouse peeled, your Joker peeled.
Yeah.
Wow, an incel podcast has been born.
We're
very
becoming
exciting.
The problem. That's why we had to end Dude Cinema. We're like, we fully crossed over.
Yeah, it was too close. Yeah. But yeah, Connor, yeah, great ass, of course. We love.
Yeah, he had a lovely asshole. Yeah.
Excellent ass.
Asshole.
Yeah, I zoomed in. Like, I got up to the screen and go, yeah, that's the asshole.
That's
right
the
there.
One.
No modesty cover. The no. Asshole's free.
Yeah, it's a donk. It's
Is
a high,
it donk?
High donk.
He's got a shelf.
What else? I'm so curious. What else did you like about this movie?
Great question.
Oh, so my notes are, I think they should have stayed on land. Did not like the boat sequence. Mm. I think it should, I really liked it.
In the climax, right? The big, yeah.
Well, just going on the boat ever. Okay. I just don't think it should have, I don't think the movie should have been moved to the sea.
Yes.
I really liked when it was just small and just in the town,
in the
roadhouse, in the Keys. Mm-hmm. I really liked it when it was just all set there.
And did you like the new wet setting? The new wet setting of Roadhouse.
No. Oh, yes, I did. Yeah.
The tropics or
the,
whatever.
The wet was over there.
Yeah.
I like looking at the wet. Yes. I didn't think we needed to be in the wet.
I really hate the ocean.
I just even
she is movies. A landlocked girl.
It just like it became too much of a like Bond film at that point. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I really liked the smallness and how it was just encapsulated into this small world of the Roadhouse.
I agree because I think that it loses the overtop brutality of the violence when it goes to being like more, oh, we're driving a boat
an
into
action,
a boathouse and becomes too action-y heavy. Whereas I think that the original Roadhouse, it's all about like beating dudes up. Like you get big fat guys beating each other up and all that kind of stuff. I love that.
Yeah. I liked the, I found the like cinematography really interesting and strange. Did you guys ever feel that like at some points it felt like kind of VFX-y? Like, I don't know, like, it just felt like some kind of CGI was involved.
I was reading about this. So apparently they use CGI doubles to connect hits in the violence. So
that makes a lot of sense.
They double, So the CGI, the violence itself is a bit CGI'd. I couldn't really understand it entirely. But from what I could gather, I think that there is like fight choreography. But then in the moments of impact, it's like doubles to like
they
really
actually make
sell
it.
Things.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like they CGI it.
That makes sense because it felt like at times like some, impacts were like sped up and stuff and like, you know when he's on the bridge and then the car is driving really slowly and he's like, what's that? And then all of a sudden it's like, and goes straight for him, like straight towards camera. That like shocked me. And things are like sped up and, but not in a weird like video game way. I don't know. Just really, it was really interesting for my eyeballs.
There was one point where I copped it where they were fighting under the boat that was falling. And then all of a sudden it felt like a video game of the boat just went like, wah, wah.
Yeah.
I was like, boats don't, even I've never seen happen. Boats don't fall like that.
No.
I've seen boats hanging from the ceiling in a bar before and it wouldn't fall like that.
I have a contribution from a cameraman boyfriend. Apparently they're loving the Steadicam whip pans.
What's they certainly do in this movie. Yeah,
okay, great.
Do.
Thank you for validating.
Yeah. What's a whip pan?
So whip pan is when like that Edgar Wright is a big fan of the whip pans. They go like that where a pan is when a camera turns from side to side.
Oh.
And a whip pan is when it does it really fast. And a lot of time it will be like you can mask a cut with it or something like that.
Ah, smart. Smart.
But I don't know. Like it just, I would say that where we land in this movie, just like,
it's a bit, it's a.
Yeah. I think at the four, really weirdly, around the introduction of Conor McGregor is when I go, I'm over this. But then he kept me hooked because I was like, I need to see what the hell this guy's doing.
What he's going
to
do with it.
What he's doing because it's like, it's a bizarre performance. It's literally like he didn't know there's a movie happening around him to an extent, or he didn't really. It was like a child actor performance.
It
or
was.
Something, you know? Yeah. Like, he's like, oh, I guess I have to say these lines. Let me find a way to say them out loud. And I think I liked that aspect of it. I was charmed by it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There was when the scene where he's walking in with the golf club to the roadhouse, you could tell he was having so much fun doing it.
True.
I was like, you're meant to be scary, Connor. He's like, da, 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 da.
He's doing like a cane like that, you know?
He's dancing with the girl. I was like, oh, he's just in this.
When that happened, I was like, that was the one time in this movie I go, if that happened to me, what would I do? Like, if that, if I was just some normal guy at a bar, and then the scariest, biggest, most chiseled guy just took my partner and started dancing with her, and then my partner was into it.
Yeah.
I would just be like, wow, I don't know what I would do. Maybe I'd be turned on. Who knows? Maybe I would
getting
discover something.
Getting cucked by Conor McGregor.
Yeah, that's it. I go, you know what? Why don't you hit me with that club while you're at it, brother?
Yeah.
Why don't you smack me over the head? We'll see what's going on. It was. I thought that was the one time watching the movie I go, well, this is a situation that you find yourself in if this happened, if what's happening in real life. This is the one character that I can identify with is just some loser.
I was thinking, I was like, if I was the girl in that situation, what would I
do? Would you do? Mm. Would
I would
dance?
Turn around and twerk it. So it would look like I'm into it, but my face would be terrified.
Your face
and
would be like, Ben, Jake, no.
Be Dalton. Yeah. Dalton, I'm not into this.
Let's talk about the romantic storyline. How do we feel about that with Nurse Lady?
Oh, I believe she's a doctor.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So your misogyny is rampant, okay?
She wasn't wearing a doctor's cap.
What's a doctor's cap?
The
what
surgical
do you mean?
Cap, like a Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, like a hairnet cap? Yeah. Yeah, okay, that's awesome.
That signifies doctor.
She wasn't masked up the whole time.
Yeah. She wasn't walking around with her hands like this.
Yeah, okay. And yeah, she didn't have a fucking big penis either, okay?
She's lacking testosterone. She can't be a doctor.
Allow me to be an ally. Chicks can be doctors.
Whoa.
Chicks can have almost any job.
And then a hero comes.
We're officially a feminist podcast now.
Yeah, okay, finally. Finally a real feminist on the show. I thought it sucked. The question, though.
I thought it sucked,
and I thought she... I didn't like that performance either.
Yeah, she was, can I say it? Bad.
Yeah.
She was bad.
She was
a bad act. I also kind of felt bad because I think that she's an Ecuadorian actress.
I think Portuguese.
Oh, Portuguese.
Let me look it up because I was I'd never seen her before.
Yeah. Because I know they filmed this in Ecuador, I'm pretty sure.
She's in Suicide Squad.
What? Who is she in Suicide Squad?
She is the Joker.
Daniela
Melchior. The hell?
Daniela Melchior. Oh, she's a Portuguese actress.
Uh-huh.
She was born in Almada, Setúbal, and she was a telenovela star.
Oh, cute.
She's also inspired in the... She plays Gwen Stacy in the Portuguese dubs of Spider-Verse.
Whoa.
Yeah, okay.
Cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and I don't know who she plays in Suicide Squad. I've not been able to find that yet.
Oh, wow. Look, I could tell that she was kind of like struggling a bit with the lines.
Mm.
And yeah, you could tell that she was like thinking really hard about what she was going to say next.
Yeah, it felt very stilted. I didn't believe their storyline at all.
Mm. And her father is played by this...
I hate it. He was the worst
Joaquin
for me.
Almeida.
Oh, he sucks.
He sucks,
he's one of the character actor that almost every time he does, he plays exactly this role.
Oh,
like in
I've
the
never
Desperado movies, he plays this.
Okay.
He plays in so many movies, he's like exactly this character.
Yeah.
And he's also Portuguese. So I would say I appreciate that.
Okay, that's
they
nice.
Cast two Portuguese actors to play... I was going to say siblings, but I mean father and daughter. I don't know. He's an actor that I think only recently I saw him kind of go against type in this movie called Missing from last year. That's like a screen life thriller.
Mm-hmm.
And he played a nice guy in that.
Oh.
And I liked him being nice.
Was he good? I don't know. I don't like him at all. I did not vibe with him. It felt very like, did someone get their dad a role on this movie?
Wow.
Like some like crew member's dad.
So
we got
a crew member's dad in the role. I think that would be more exciting if it was a crew member's
actually,
dad.
Actually, that would be.
Yeah, just some guy
cool.
who's just, he has to like look off screen to get his line and then turn back. I think that maybe that is kind of where the film lost me as well, because I think he is capable because he does this stuff often.
Okay.
Of if he had been able to like do play into the campness a bit more. Mm. But I think once you meet that character, the movie becomes much more seriously pitched.
Yes. Mm.
And so
it becomes
kind of,
about corruption.
Yeah.
It becomes bigger. I think what I really enjoyed when it was on land was the stakes were small. It was just we're trying to, I understand that they needed to have more of a storyline than just, these guys are terrorizing the mm-hmm. roadhouse. Like, there needs to be a reason behind it. But yeah, just that's when it felt like it became like Bondy or
yes,
not
exactly.
heisty, but just like it became a different movie.
I agree with that. Like, I think he just be from that point on, it's like, oh, and by the way, he's your girlfriend's dad.
Yeah.
And like all of that kind of aspect okay. to it was just like, okay.
It got
like,
a bit too complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think this movie is fun. I don't think it should be complicated.
Yeah, I think at that point it also stops being cartoony. Like, you know, yes. what I mean? Like, you know, like yep. you were saying, becomes bigger, becomes more serious, becomes less overtly comedic or cartoony. And
yeah.
I was like, okay, we should have got someone. Like, I'm trying to think who you could cast in that role that would be fun, but like, you know, just someone weird. Like,
someone,
just go
yep.
someone who is so weird, they go, what the hell? You got Danny DeVito to play the
right,
sheriff
yes.
in this town or something?
Yes.
Or like
or Danny Trejo or something?
Yeah,
Danny like
Trejo. Or
funny.
Like Sam Elliott if they want to get someone from the old roadhouse
yeah.
or whatever, you know, someone.
They didn't that do that, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that little, like a little homage.
Yeah.
Bring back someone to play a cameo.
I do think they filmed this over. I think they filmed this in 2021 while there were still lockdowns and COVID stuff.
Yeah, it's like we can't get old people. We can't get sick. Yes. We can't just we can't get him sick. We can't do it.
And I just wanted to do a shout out to Jessica Williams, the owner of the Roadhouse.
Oh
Williams,
my God, so I was so excited to see her.
Isn't she fantastic?
Because I listened to her voice. I was like, where do I know it from? I looked up, I was like, oh, Two Broke Girls.
Oh, is that? Oh, she's I know her from Shrinking.
Oh.
That newer show from a couple of years ago.
Before that, she was part of the podcast Two Broke Girls. And it was.
Yes, okay.
Oh my God, not Two Broke Girls. Two Dope Queens.
Two Dope Queens.
Yes.
Has the same energy.
Yeah. It totally does, yeah.
Yeah, the podcast Two Dope Queens, and then it cool. sadly ended.
Mm.
So I was like, yes, I'm so glad to see she's
doing she was fantastic.
Cool stuff.
I really liked how they portrayed her. I was really worried that it would be a bit of a caricature of a strong woman who owns a bar. Mm. Like, it'd be like, mm. I'd give her like lame lines and stuff, but I felt like she was really real. Like,
yeah.
it didn't. Mm. Overly be like, this is a boss bitch.
Yeah.
Look at her say really cutting one-liners. Like,
yeah.
she actually just felt like a normal person who's, like, tough.
And yeah. she got to use her, like, natural funniness instead
yes.
of, like, yeah, I really like her a lot, and I thought
yeah.
that was fun.
Mm.
What do you think about, like, the secondhand bookstore stuff or whatever, like, the little
didn't
bookstore?
Didn't like it. Why? Didn't like, did not
yeah.
like that
what
little
I
girl.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I know this is probably problematic to say, but she was not a good actor, and
wow.
she annoyed me the whole time she was on there.
Yeah, I just
wow.
didn't know why
the
she
character
to be
and the
there.
Actor together.
Wow, let it be known, Conor McGregor, better actor than this person, according
poor
to
little
Alex.
Girl. No, I mean, she's fine, but like the, I don't know, the character of it was very stereotypy for me.
Mm.
Just like, she was just very like, huh, well, I don't know. She was like attitude-y and
yeah.
stuff. I'm like, that's not how kids talk. And I don't know. Just, yeah, I just didn't buy it.
And it was also a weird way to kind of go, here's his zenness. This guy reads book.
Yeah.
He's reading a book. And it was like,
this
it was just
book.
Like a guide, like a probably a zine from what the town's history is.
It
you
looked
know?
Awful. Yeah. He tried like, to give it back. And they were like, no, you can't.
No,
he's like, I don't want it.
Learn about this town from this zine. Man.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, that was a little odd. Like, you know, if he was actually a bookworm, that could be a funny way to go.
Mm.
You know, this is that character. He reads a book a day.
Yeah.
And it's all like, you know, the bell jar or something like that.
Yeah.
Like if he's into like femme lit, like that could be kind of funny.
Well, that would be, see this, it gives me big Jack Reacher vibes, this guy.
Oh,
and that
creature.
Feels more Jack Reacher-y because
mm.
Jack Reacher is very like well-read, articulate,
yeah.
intelligent, but can turn it on and kill a dude when he needs to.
Okay.
But yeah, this, no, I did not buy that Jake Gyllenhaal was reading books in this film.
He's not allowed. He shouldn't have knowledge. Give him away from it.
Don't like it.
I felt overall this movie, I wanted less characters and to like spend more time
yes.
with like the core crew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. 100%.
More sitcom.
Yeah.
Yeah, sitcom, like an ensemble.
Like the two guys from the bar that suddenly
yeah.
become like bouncers themselves.
Yes.
The guy from the U season 4 who
yes.
likes to get peed on.
Lucas Gage.
We love Lucas Gage.
Oh my God.
I wanted more Lucas Gage, to be honest. Because you get little glimpses of him getting better at bouncing and better at fighting
yeah.
and stuff. Oh, and I liked the roadhouse-ness of having like that a band always playing
that
behind
was a great
like
homage.
A wire thing. I thought that was fun, and I liked
yeah.
had different types of music and stuff every time.
Yeah.
Like, I liked when they had a Christian rock band. That was funny. Or Christian, that was fun. Like, I liked, whenever it felt Roadhouse, I liked it.
Yes.
You know? And then whenever it felt like a generic action movie, I was like, no, thank you. Yeah. This is not Roadhouse. Roadhouse is a unique action movie.
Mm. Do you know what, you guys? After all this, it turns out we actually all think the same thing about this film.
We've
spent 50 minutes and we've come to the exact same spot.
So what we're saying is we rained on your parade.
Yes. It turns out art is not subjective. Everyone must have the same opinion.
But how lovely. We started out with such differing opinions, but it turns out in the end, when it comes down to it, at its core,
we're so different from one another.
We all felt the same.
We're all people with the same empathy, you know?
Exactly.
This movie, I tell you what, because you said at the top, this felt like a Roadhouse is very bisexual. Mm-hmm. This felt very for the boys.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Felt
very
hetero
for the boys.
As hell.
Yeah, yeah. It's a straighty movie, you know? Mm.
Yes.
And nothing wrong with that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just didn't have that unique weirdness of Roadhouse.
Yeah. All right. Well, how many?
How many Conor McGregor butt cheeks?
That's where I, that's
are we going to go for this
that's
one?
That's what my brain did.
We've all got the brain the same space.
I give this movie 3.5 butt cheeks.
3.5 butt cheeks.
Out of five. Yeah.
That's almost two Conor McGregors.
It is almost. And they're big butt cheeks too, so that's a big 2.5. yeah, for all the reasons I said, thinking about the hour 20 mark, I checked the time, which, you know, indicates that you're not into it. I was like, how much left? So I think if we stayed on land, this could almost be like a 4.5 for me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, wow. I had a great time. It took me by surprise.
Did you like this more than the original Roadhouse?
I'd prefer not to answer that question.
Oh my God. Okay.
Oh
wow.
My Lord.
So
this
you
is
and me are
going
to come to fist outside. Yeah. What you said about my girl.
Finally
then she's going to fight you.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Now, this is it. We're
this is a real Roadhouse we've got going on here.
Wow.
I would give this movie 2 butt cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
Just two. Just a
just
nice,
a good ass.
Hurt ass.
I'm with you. I'm 2 butt cheeks too. We are so aligned today. Yeah. We are teaming up against you now.
Yeah.
That's fine.
You really tried to get me to forget about this fight, and I haven't.
I need you on my side. You're clearly the strongest in the room. I need you on my side.
I work out. I lifted a coffee table before. I don't know if you saw.
I did see it. I saw it.
Well, thank you so much for coming onto Screen Queens and being our first ever guest.
My pleasure to have a tumble with you guys
in the
Roadhouse.
Screen Queendom.
In the Screen Queendom. Thank you so much for having me. I love you guys so much. It was so fun to pod it up with you guys one more time.
Yeah.
One more time sounded like it was the last
this
time.
This is
hopefully
not the last.
Hopefully do more with each other. Yeah.
And tell the people again, your podcast.
The
show find you?
Is called The Last Video Store. It's on YouTube. It's on whatever weird podcast catching app you use. You can find it on there at The Last Video Store. It's really fun. If you love movies, if you want to explore movies, it's a great way to do it. Who are the cool people we've had on?
Oh, my God. Luke Bracey.
Yeah, Luke Bracey. We had David Dastmalchian on this week, who's from Dune, Suicide Squad, the star of Late Night with the Devil.
Another thriller horror film.
Yeah, great horror film.
Yeah,
I'm really excited for Late Night with the Devil. Yeah. So he's on this week.
We had Zachary Wayne, Tony Armstrong, Polly Bennett, who is the movement coach and choreographer for Elvis, the Queen one. And Saltburn.
That dancing for Saltburn. We get deep and figure out how it was done and all the cool shit in it. Yeah, so it's been really fun. Cameron James, you've heard of that guy?
Whoa.
I booked him. We booked him for the show.
We got him. Nina Oyama.
Nina Oyama, Randa Tapso coming up soon as well.
It's great.
Some really cool people. Yeah, really cool people.
Fuck yeah.
And I'm on it every single week. So hopefully that's a sellout.
Rain or shine.
Yeah. And we'll have to get the Screen Queens in there as well sometime.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
I can't wait for my
You've
got to
think of three other movies you like now.
So I don't think I can.
Okay, well, that's it.
I guess it's never going to be.
We got a one-minute episode coming up with Peg Charwood as well.
Well, thank you so much, Lexi. Where can people find you on the socials?
Oh, this is Alexi across them, which is Instagram, Twitter /X, and also Letterboxd. Those are what I use. And add me on Facey B.
Oh.
Yeah, I want a friend. Actually, I don't want a friend.
I got a friend request the other day. It was weird.
I post on my wall almost every day. I post on everyone's wall. I love doing wall posts. Hey, man, what you up to today? Love doing a wall post. Very, hey, did I see you at the shops?
It's very my mum core. Yeah. So well
freaking
done.
People out.
Yeah, posting on walls has got to come back, man. That's it.
And the poke. You get a poke.
Yeah, I do pokes. You do. I do mad pokes. I'm like, hey, what's up? Nudge you, man.
I mean, it's the only way you can poke these days with the PC culture. Wow.
Exactly. Don't get me started. Yeah,
that's true. PC culture has actually gone too far.
And that's where I'd like to leave this episode.
That's what I believe in.
Thank you, Alexi.
Thanks, guys. Love
you. We love you.